Dear Lord, this is nothing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for today. And before I go into what would be a continuation of what we started yesterday, the way God orders things, He makes sure that you come in twos. So, I'll call Sister Tolu to come and stay with us for a few minutes. And then we will continue today's administration. Are we in agreement with that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, 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 yes. So, Sister Tolu, please.
Praise God. Can I stay here? Or do I have to come to the front?
Please come to the front.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
I believe we're all born again.
Yes.
Everybody here is all born again. Huh? Then you want to speak for yourself. Anybody here?
Amen.
Anyway, thank God that we're all born again. But you know, at times, like, I just wonder, like, do we know what it really means to be born again? Because when we were born again, we were translated from one kingdom into another kingdom. You know, Nicodemus, I mean, as powerful as he was in the Pharisees and Sadducees, was it only was one of them? If I was saying born again, does that mean I was going to my mother's womb and be born? I don't know. Except to be born again, you cannot see. And except you are born of the water of the Lord and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom. I know I've been born again. When we were born again, John 3:16, God so loved the world, sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And we know that I've been born again, and so we have eternal life. And like I tell myself, eternal life is eternal life. Eternity is eternity. For those of us who are born with Christians, eternity is infinite. It has no end. So if you look at your life, your life here. I tell people that for me, eternity is made up of two parts, mortality and immortality. Or, if God, it depends on when God comes, if God comes, like those disciples, there are some of you here who will not see death till I come back. So it depends. So, if let's assume I live to be 120, that is nothing compared to eternity. So why would I jeopardize my eternity? Because of this 120 years. Because I look at us as Christians and I say at times, why are we playing with our salvation? Do we really know what it means to be born again? Do you know what it means to belong to the kingdom of God? The Bible says, except ye be born, water of the world. And I was telling my husband yesterday, funny enough, when the songs were coming yesterday, Great is the Lord, and God led me to my own, he came up and stood there. Open Romans 8. So when I was done with the thing coming, because I couldn't read my Bible once, so when I got to the thing, because Romans 8 I was reading. And God started ministering to me on how there is no condemnation for those who walk after the Spirit. So the fact that you are born again does not mean that automatically you are qualified to enter. Moses saw for instance, but did not enter. I'm sure we don't want to see, we don't want to know these great promises. We don't want, we can talk about them. We can explain all the mysteries. But that's not what we want. We want to partake. Is that not what we want?
Yep.
We want to partake. And the Bible says, I mean, I told my husband, like, he didn't know the experience I was going. He said, when the Bible says that the flesh and the spirit, they're lost against each other. With the body, we live with the world, we live with the flesh. With the spirit, we live with God. The soul, the middle man, like you say, the battlefield of the mind. There's that battle that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. And the devil, very sly, very cunning, he won't come to you black and white. He will come to you in shades. He will coat poison and put chocolate around it and you see the glitter like he did for Eve in the garden. You say, oh, and God said, yes, and he said, yes. But the devil knew where he was going. He will come with the truth, but it's a lie, there's something. And the Bible says, we should watch. Now, do not enter into temptation. Because God knows the kind of devil that we are dealing with. He won't come to you, obviously. He will come and entice you for us with the lust of the eyes and the lust of the. I told my husband an experience. We went on a cruise of the Red Sea. And normally, on the cruise ship, you have some trailers, the cells, and then normally they are cheaper. So I was just, I went to one of the shops and I just saw, I said, oh, I like this pearl and silver. I don't have anything that is pearl and silver. And then, oh, as I was admiring, it's okay, I just took, I like wearing small rings. I just took the pearl and I like, what's it? Oh, it's lovely, it's lovely in my hand. He thinks I love it. I have a secret for telling you. So you do need it. Don't buy it. I think he had, he did that when he realized that just pam and left. There's no, then, there, when the sales girl happened to meet me, oh, this is lovely. And then I said, like, it's not this, and I went on and on and on. Brethren, you need to believe it. I was telling myself, like, I did not know the struggle I was having in my heart. Unmarried! Girl, and you want, I mean, so I was telling myself, when God told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son, did he have a baby? He said, what? Oh. And the scriptures come to me. Look, the flesh and the spirit is the enemy. God is testing you. God, your spirit is telling you, don't buy it. The devil is telling you anything. You don't have, what is it? How much is it? He said, no, it's not a matter of how much it is. It's a matter of who are you. The person you obey, the person you yield yourself to, that is the person who is your master. So it's not a matter of this, who am I obeying? And that's what I have. As I think that the spirit of God had talked to me, but it was like, I'm not doing it for faith. I don't have respect. How much is it? What is it? But it was, that was not the issue, that God had given me instruction. My spirit had told me Jesus. And it was like a struggle. It was then I now understood when the Bible says the spirit and the flesh be lusted. Okay? It was a matter of lust of the eyes. I saw it, I desired it, and I wanted it. I didn't need it. And I mean, there are times, some things you just go to see and buy. I mean, once your spirit was not content with you, it's good. But there and then, I knew the spirit of God, so don't buy it. I like it, it's fine. And then this girl came, the devil had bought the thing, brought me all that sense, and I said, this is market. And then, funny enough, when I told my husband, didn't know the struggle, I just said, I saw something I wanted to buy. I think I'm going to say, what do you have? What do you have? So I just said, throughout the night, oh, God, listen, I'll preach to myself. Then something else will come again. I'll preach to myself. Something else will come again. I said, God is telling me to do something. If God, why am I arguing with God? Then I'll use what's to do. So, that's a no. God has spoken. This is getting too much. How can I? God. I said, no. So now I went back to that. I said, no, I'm not. I just took one. I said, you know what? I'm not buying it. And it was like pouring cold water. A relief. I said, when Jesus was tempted, you know, there's some small things. In life, you don't stumble over boulders. You see them, they're over you. You avoid them. It's just small pebbles as you're walking that trip you and fall. And it was like, so when the Bible says the angels came and ministered unto him, afterwards, I said, I don't understand how. And I just felt it. When I just went, I said, I went to the Father and I said, I'm not fine. I don't need it. I don't want it. And I was like, that was all. I just said, good. I said, when the Bible says, receive the enemy, receive from him. Don't need it. Okay, that thing. This battle between the flesh, it has been there from the beginning. When God made man in his own image, we are all made in the image of God in our life. God wants sweet fellowship with us. And the enemy knows, but the enemy will come like a bishop. He did it for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are no exception. We do it for us. And that's why God says we have to be watchful. We have to fill ourselves with the word of God. We rather have a proverb that tell me about fellow or share. There's this black soap that they wrap in leaf. After a long time, you won't even distinguish the leaf from because the leaf is as good as, everything. The more we stay with the word, the more the likeness of God is forming us. There's no magic to this. There's no magic to it. When the Bible says in Joshua 1:8, meditate upon this book day and night. Why? Why do I have to say that? Who knows the reason why? And then the more you'll be able to do. But says that thou shalt be sure of this word day on night. That thou mayest observe to do. And then when you now do, the Bible says, then shall you have. At times, as some Christians, we pray useless prayers God will help you. Because for those who are mathematicians, if you say A plus B equals to C, if you put A and you put plus, and you put B, and you press equals, C will come out. Do you understand? So if God says, if you do this and this and that, then that. You don't just pray for the dead. You do this and this and that. That is true. Meditate upon my word, that we may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Once you follow the word of God, you live by the word of God, you will have peace. You will be prosperous. God has so designed it that it's there in someone, the man that does not, that obeys the word of God, it shall be. So if you don't obey God's word, you don't read God's word, you don't love God's word, you don't read God's word, you're not inclined to obey him, then is that prayer, God, please bless me. Same thing with Sam. I want to pray for our nation. The Bible says that if my people who are called by my name shall do this and then. I said, look, let's pray for Christians. Let's pray that our life will be true Christians. But with the light, if we are the light of the world, who will find that message? If we are the source of that, then when Christians and mentors are involved in this thing, how can you? The Bible says that you should remove one in your own life before you want to remove one in your birth. Your own obedience, once it is fulfilled, then you can start and avenge all the things. So there are a lot of things. God will just help us that we will be born again of the water of the word and of the spirit. God's spirit has given us the spirit. The spirit is what will interpret God's word. We bring the life of the word and make that word flesh in us. But we have to love the word of God. We have to fall in love with the word of God. Look, brother, there was a time I had to take a sabbatical of 1 year. And I took it was a sabbatical to be with God.
Glory!
And it changed my life and time. I just discovered that. Look, those who are not Christians don't know what they are missing.
At all.
You know, Christian, any small problem, just like God. It's like you have a promise to stand on, you have a promise of God, you have something. Hey, I don't let things disturb me. People are being fearful for where? A child of God.
Glory!
A child of God. I tell people that I you want to be Trump's or Obama's doctor, I said for where? I am a child of the
Lord.
I envy my position.
Yes,
I don't know, people don't know what it means. You know who God is.
Yes, sir.
You know who I look at the world, I say, God, you know, the Bible says that all this
belongs to you.
This you're talking about your mind. And I am a child of God. I don't want to be any in this world. He's looking for whom to deceive. And the Bible says that God, his eyes too, are looking for those whose hearts are perfect towards his. Why? He wants to show himself as a strong God. He wants to show himself to the world as a mighty God. But he wants to use a people. He's looking for you, he's looking for me. He wants us to trust him, he wants us to believe him, he wants us to know that the devil is a liar. He doesn't want us to take it to the flesh. The flesh and the spirit is there. With this body, we have contact with the world, all our senses. What we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch, they influence us. But the more of the spirit, the more of the word of God we take inside of us, then we are feeding our spirit fat.
Yes.
And when our spirit is fat, the flesh cannot stand.
Yes.
For the spirit of God will help us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let us bow our heads as we talk to the Lord. Let us ask that he will speak to us even the more. Every word that comes is there to bless us. But our attitude must be, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Father, we appreciate you. Lord, we bless you. We are your children. We have gathered at your feet. We have gathered to be with you. We desire to look on your face. Speak to us. Touch our hearts. Transform us. Let us be to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't know whether it is to make reference to it or to sing it again. The song we sang a few minutes ago, magnify the Lord with me. If there's a word like a song blows your mind, it is a song that, okay, let's not use such words, blows my mind. You know, a song that thrills my heart. Anytime I sing it and I hear it, hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a song of celebration. It's a song of worship, adoration. You appreciate God for who He is. Hallelujah. Magnify the Lord with me. Exalt the name of Jesus. Magnify the Lord with me. Exalt His holy name. Hallelujah. The God we serve is a mighty God. Lately, in my walk with Him, in my experiences of Him, every time I take this walk, one of the things that strikes me is it is a highly loaded word, a highly loaded book. The intricacies, the links, you know, it's like you are reading a particular place and you think it is speaking about something, and then the Holy Spirit quickens you, you go and say, wow! Wow! Hallelujah!
Amen.
You know, I began to think, and science has made some discoveries. You know, every day new inventions, we break new grounds, and man is celebrating himself. And I look, is man aware that all man is doing is an uncovering? You know, discovery implies something was covered. And then your eyes are opened, and what was there all the while that you did not know was there? God in His mercy, in the light He has caused to come upon man, He uncovers what had been hidden all the while. And man says, wow, you know, I am such a great inventor. Now, the mind who covered all these things all this while puts in a book. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yesterday we made reference to a statement. Jesus said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto others it is not. I am enjoying, you know, one place in the scriptures that I like to read. We will begin our meditation from there today. But remember, we this weekend are looking at the faithful priesthood. There is a faithful priesthood. There is an unfaithful priesthood. Today we are going to be looking at, you know, the faithful priest, the faithful priesthood. Yesterday we just looked at, you know, living in the light of prophecy. We live in a prophetic time. During the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, many events happen in His life that will look like coincidence. But when it is fulfilled, it will be written as it was written. As it was written by prophet so-so and so. Hundreds of years before. That's why we can say, God, can I use the word a genius?
He is more than genius.
I mean, that's for lack of a word to use to describe Him. He hides Himself, but He's all-knowing, all-able, all-powerful, all-glorious, excellent. I mean, it's like words cannot adequately express Him. That's why that song is such a great song. Magnify the Lord with me. And the thrust of faithfulness in the priest is principally about honor. Honor, fear, appreciate God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God says, you must honor me. You must appreciate me. So what are you doing when you are singing, magnify the Lord with me? What are you doing? You are honoring Him. You are magnifying him. You are appreciating him. You are calling him who he is. A great God. A mighty God. Hallelujah. So I said we'll look at Isaiah 55. Because in Isaiah 55, the greatness of God is celebrated. Maybe in a way that we may not really immediately get, but it is there. Isaiah 55. You know, it starts by, what do you call it? Is it a command? A challenge? A call? Hey, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy, eat, come buy wine, milk, without money, without price. Verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hallelujah. So if you were to look at the life of a faithful priest will heed this call. You know, at a point, I'm sure with reference to this Isaiah 55, the Lord Jesus Christ met this Samaritan woman at the well. And he told the woman, give me to drink. And the woman said, oh God, you know, what are you talking? I should give you to drink. Who are you? He said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who is talking to you, you will have asked him and he will have given you living waters. Hallelujah. May I ask, are there people who are thirsty here? Are we thirsty? Hey, everyone who is thirsty, come to the true waters. What does that mean? I'll use the woman's example. The account says, in the course of the conversation that Jesus had with her, he told her, go and bring your husband. And the woman said, you know, we're saying some serious things. Why are you going into this? I have had 5 husbands. The one I am living with now, I don't really know whether to call him a husband or whatever he is. He does not qualify to be a husband. Possibly after him, there may be more. Now, what that shows is there is a thirst in every man. There is a hunger. Don't you know it's a thirst that makes a woman husband 1, husband 2, husband 3, husband 4, husband 5, a 6. How many husbands do you need in a lifetime? Hallelujah. But it's not speaking about husband. It's speaking about a thirst, a hunger, a desire for fulfillment. You hear people, everything you can point at in the natural is available to them. And yet you hear they are depressed. They are sad. They are unhappy. And it's like, how can you have all these things and you are unhappy? And then the word of Jesus comes to us. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the natural things. The natural things you have are a tool to your worship of God, to your service of God. Hallelujah. Hey, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. May we come to him. Amen. Who can satisfy. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, there's somewhere there in that Isaiah 55, which is really why, you know, we came here. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Hallelujah. Now, what is that saying? The Lord began to speak to me, and it's like man in his highest level of thought, the greatest invention man can have, his thought is like that of the thought of an ant standing beside a man. If you were to see an ant and the ant is telling you, I can think, I can, of course the ant is a very hardworking, you know, animal. But in the way God has placed things, man has more capacity when rightly used than the ant. But we're talking about the thoughts of man relative to the thoughts of God. To imagine that man in his evolution and what is available to you in the natural, God says anything man thinks, the best, the highest that man can think, when you place it with his thoughts, God's capacities, it is like placing the earth with the heavens. It's far. God says, I am so big, the heavens are my throne.
Hallelujah.
The earth is my footstool. So what can you make? God, I want to impress you. I want to build a big house for you. So which part of him do you want to squeeze into what you have built? Is it his hand? Is it his toe? If his throne, where he sits, is in the heaven, you know, it's like the whole creation is inside him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, who can you compare with this God? So, remember I mentioned the issue is honor. So, we will go back to Malachi. I just wanted to drive home a point that God's thoughts are so great. But when you are in Christ, then his thoughts begin to become your thoughts. It's a process. And his ways. But most times I don't like leaving Isaiah 55 until, you know, I give an idea of the thinking pattern of God. How does God think? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, you know, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and it does not return, but it waters the earth. He makes the earth to bring forth and bore, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be. My word be. It's like the word has the capacity to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hallelujah. Now, as you hear this, let us not forget what we said yesterday. Remember, part of what we said yesterday is that you are not an accident of history. You are not man's idea. You are not the idea of your father or your grandfather or your parents, or whoever it is, you are God's idea. And God has pre-known you. He knew you would be here. He planned that you would be here. And he planned that you would be to the glory of his name. One word we made reference to yesterday, in Romans 8, everything ends in glory. In Isaiah 40, you know, the mountain is brought low, the valley is exalted, and the glory of the Lord is revealed in all flesh. So you are for the glory of the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God is saying here, his word concerning you will not fall to the ground. It will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All that is required of you is what? Faith. Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. Was that not what Mary said? The word of the Lord came to Mary. You will have a child. You will not know any man. What are those natural sounding things? Yes, you are betrothed to a man. You have not gotten married. You will, carry a pregnancy. What did she say? I know Sabi grammar. Let it be unto me according to your word. Because your word has in it the capacity for fulfillment. It shall be as I have spoken. Now, what is the Lord saying? My word shall not return unto me void. In your life, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And what is the word of the Lord? What is the mind of the Lord? He says, you shall go out with. Everyone I say, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
You shall go out with joy.
Amen.
You shall be led forth with peace.
Amen.
The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing.
Amen.
All the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Amen.
Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree in your life.
Amen.
Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree.
Amen.
It shall be to the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
Amen.
Remember we said yesterday, the glory of the Lord will be revealed in your life. You know, Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. In your life, you are the city of our God. You are the mountain of God's holiness. You will be beautiful. You will be glorious when God exalts you. Not when you exalt yourself, not when you push yourself, show. Some people push and show. No, that's not the style. Let God be God. Let God be King in your life. In the name of Jesus. One of the Psalms that I like sharing with brethren, I love it. The Bible says, when the Lord turns the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. I like to operate in the realm of dreams. Hallelujah. If something is something you can work out by yourself, then that's not a dream. But God likes to operate in the realm of dreams. Usually I tell people, it means God says I will do this in your life. And you say, God, how will it do it? How will you do it? He says, don't worry. And then when you now begin to see the event unfold before you, you say, let me go back and sleep. Because what I am seeing, it looks like a dream. It does not look real. Let me sleep in case if I sleep and I wake up. Am I awake? And then you sleep and you wake up and it's still like that. Eh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord our God in the midst of us is what? He is mighty. The Lord will cause us to walk in the realms of dreams.
Amen.
The things that we cannot work out by ourselves. But which it will work out in our lives. But the key issue is, you must let him be God. And, we are going to go to that. Malachi. Yesterday we said, the book of Malachi is a transition book. It's a prophecy. And it has several interpretations. It was a prophecy that introduced John the Baptist, his ministry. But there is another generation that will play a transition role similar to that which John the Baptist played. Before the Lord Jesus Christ came, John the Baptist was like a forerunner. He went and began to preach, repent, repent, repent. The kingdom of God is coming. And then Jesus came on the scene later. There's another coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming in glory. It will be revealed in you. It will be revealed in me. It will be revealed in us. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That which was planted was a seed. We said that yesterday. That which we come forth will not be different from that which was planted. So we will come forth in newness. We will come forth in power. We will come forth in glory. We will come forth in beauty. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So Malachi, remember that song, we'll keep making reference to it. Magnify the Lord with me, the faithful priest. The faithful priest honors the Father. Honor, fear, reverence, acknowledgement play a key role in the life of a faithful priest. Malachi 1, reading from verse 6. Remember we said yesterday, God said, I love Jacob. I hate Esau. And we said there are two different natures, two different lifestyles. There is a lifestyle that does not honor God. There is a lifestyle that does not glorify the name of God, that does not reverence God. But there is a lifestyle that glorifies the name of the Lord. A heart panting after God. May our hearts pant for him. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now Malachi 1, 6 says, a son honors his father. Not a child. A child may not know his left from his right. But a son is a child who has grown to maturity. He is able to represent the interest of the father. Hallelujah. He can go and say, my father sent me. And they won't say, come on, go and sit down, you're this small boy. You don't know what you are talking. No. Hallelujah. A son honors his father. A servant honors his master. And God asks, if then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests. So this is a message unto priests. Hallelujah. Now you may ask, who is a priest? A simple explanation is somebody who stands on behalf of himself and on behalf of others before God. Towards God, he stands on behalf of himself and he stands on behalf of others before God. Hallelujah. And then, having been before God and received the mind of God concerning the matter in which he approached unto God, he now goes to the people and declares the mind of the Father, as it were. So, a priest will equally be regarded as a son, can be regarded as a servant. A priest plays many roles. You know, one of the things I tell people is, as a man, you are called to play many roles. You are a husband to somebody. You are a son to somebody. You are a father to somebody else. You are a grandfather to somebody else. So there are many titles the same person carries. You are a worker. You are an employer. You are an employee. You know, so many different names. Hallelujah. As a priest, you represent men to God and you represent God to men. You are God's ambassador. Hallelujah. So, honor is key. Honor and fear. God says, where is my honor? Where is my fear? Are you honoring me? Are you fearing me? Hallelujah. He says, O priest that despise my name, despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? Hallelujah. Now, if God says, you are despising my name, and you turn to God and you say, God, how am I despising your name? Or where did I despise your name? What does that tell you? It tells you, you are despising without knowing you are despising. Because if you turn back and say, how did I despise your name? It means you did not know that you are despising. But that you did not know is still not an excuse before God. God will not come down to your standard. You are the one who will move up to his standard. Hallelujah. So, you say, wherein have we despised your name? He says, you offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted you? You say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. I will serve God at my convenience. God, I beg, don't disturb me. I'm very busy. I have a lot of things to do. Hallelujah. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If somebody takes a blind animal, is animal not animal? If God says, offer sacrifice, and you take an animal that is blind, is it not animal? After all, some people are not even giving anything at all. So why should you complain if I give you, you know, a blind animal? If you offer the blind, is it not evil? If you offer the lame, if you offer the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Or will he accept your person, says the Lord of hosts? Let me define that in a simple way. What you will not do to a man you honor, don't do to God. I don't want to get into details. I could get into, you know, specifics and say it is like this, it is like that. But the essence of the thrust of what is coming is to make you go and think. Hallelujah. The idea is, I want to serve God. I want to please God. I want to be a son. I want his name to be glorified in my life. And God is saying, the standard gets higher and higher. Hallelujah. Now, let's quickly read and then we can leave that place. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame, the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Will he accept your person? Says the Lord. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. You know, he says a few things, you can leave that. Now, verse 10. Who is there even among you that will shut the doors for naught when you are in your house? Why do you lock the door? You lock the door for security purposes. If you thought nobody could do anything, you will leave your door open. But human wisdom says, lock the door. There are reasons why things are done. Praise the Lord. That's what that is trying to get across. Neither you do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in being offered the blind, the lame, the deaf, the dumb. We will get into a few more details as we go on in the course of this week. Now, verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. I want you to say amen.
Amen.
I'll say that again. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And in addition, in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name.
Amen.
And a pure offering. A pure offering. A pure offering.
Amen.
Not a blind offering. Not a lame offering. Not a deaf offering. A pure heart.
Amen.
Lord, I love you. I know I'm not perfect. You know, remember, God says, I love Jacob. He didn't say, I love Israel. Israel could be said, okay, Israel is the transformed Jacob. No, even the raw Jacob, his heart was right. God saw David. Oh, he's a man who loves my heart. He's a man after my heart. And you read a few things in the scriptures, things that David said that say, okay, this is the reason why God loved him. One of the ones I like, maybe let me just do a quick diversion. At least we have a little more time this morning. Praise the Lord. Psalm 132. Why did God like David? Why did God like David? You know, talking about a pure offering. Hallelujah. Psalm 132, very quickly. He says, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. Who was David? He says, David swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. What did he say? What did he vow? He said, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house. I will not go into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes. Neither will I give slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Hallelujah. Now, what does that mean? David had revelations of who God was. God looked at David and God looked at Saul the king. Saul the king. From the moment Saul the king was made a king, he had no time for God. There is no record of waiting on the Lord, standing in the presence of God, looking up to God. There are nothing written. No songs of worship. No nothing to show that Saul cared. God picked him from nowhere. He did not have any dream of ever becoming a king. And God made him a king. And from the moment he became a king, he forgot about God. Hallelujah. But David was a different person. David said, I will not go to my house. I will not go to my bed. I will not give sleep to my eye, nor rest to my eyelid, until I build a house, a temple for the Lord. Now, that speaks at two levels. Externalities are important, but they are not the most important things. I will make my life a temple for the Lord. Hallelujah! Amen. David had a unique relationship with God. He had a unique fellowship. He had a tent. Oh yeah, the tabernacle of Moses, big, with all the compartments. David said, no, leave that one. Personal fellowship. Personal relationship. He will go. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, amongst the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness? Begin to worship. And God will say, wow, I like this man. May he say concerning you, amen. I like you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
David blessed the Lord. He had a right heart. And you read the history of David. He was never presumptuous. He reminds one of the same thing about Jacob. I'm sure Jacob was like, he took an inheritance from his great-great-grandfather. Jacob. David did not joke about instruction. And thank God for the testimony her sister gave. Anytime there was a challenge, David said, am I not a king? Was I not the one who killed Goliath? We know how to do it. Bring more Goliaths. We know how to kill them. No. Anytime there was a challenge, he would go to God. God, how do we go about this? God will say, go it this way. Soon after, another event similar to the first one. God, how do we do it? Yeah, but we did it yesterday. This is how we did it. We have the key. We have the recipe. We have the plan how to do it. No, David went back. God, how do we do this? And God said, no, you will not do it the way you did it yesterday. This time you will come from the back. The enemy might have learned your strategy. You came from the front yesterday. So he will be expecting you to come from the front again the second time. And God says, come from the back. He is the all-wise. He is the all-knowing. He is the all-capable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
David, a man after God's heart. No, we're speaking about a faithful priest or the faithful priesthood. We'll go back again to that Malachi and Yes, verse 11. It says, from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. How will the name of God be great among the Gentiles? Is it as we come here? The name of the Lord shall be great among... Is that how it will be great among the Gentiles? So how will it be great among the Gentiles? They will say there is none like Jesus. We cannot find anybody who looks like Jesus. Do you know the early believers were called Christians? These ones live like they have been with Jesus. Not preach. I'm not talking about preaching or sing. They live like, I heard the story about Jesus. I did not meet him. But having watched your life, having seen you living, I have seen my own Jesus. You know, a quote. So are you somebody's Jesus? Oh, everybody's quiet.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
The reason we are here is that you might be somebody's Jesus. Amen. That is the goal. That is what God is working out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the name of the Lord will be great among the Gentiles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And a pure offering. In every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. His name shall be great in your life.
Amen.
His name shall be great in my life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A faithful priesthood. Those who represent the name of the Lord. We'll go to Malachi 2. We'll just read a few things in Malachi, but we are actually going to 1 Samuel. That is really where we might spend a little more time this morning. Malachi chapter 2. It says, and now, O ye priests, this commandment, this instruction is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name. Remember, honor, fear, now glory. Give glory unto my name. Then I will send judgment. May we not be judged of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. You know, one of the things that I tell people is, we sing, the Lord is my shepherd. Is that not so? Is it not in the Bible? Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
One of the verses says, his rod and his staff, they comfort you. Is anybody saying amen?
Amen.
Are you sure? His rod, his staff, they comfort you. Do you know his rod? His cane. You know what a cane is? Bah! So, do you still agree? His rod comforts you?
Yes.
Okay, it's only one person or one and a half people. But it's all part of the package. God corrects. He corrects. He corrects until we are like Christ.
Amen.
You know, we will see that in Malachi 3. But before we get to Malachi 3, we'll just look at Malachi 2. So we are warned. Remember that I said this passage is a transition passage. It was relevant in the transition between law and grace. And it is relevant now as grace is being wound up. And we are entering the realm of the kingdom. How many years? I don't know. That's not what I'm talking. Somebody will say, in 2 years' time. No, that's not what this is all about. 40 years ago, what I am sharing with you, the Lord began to minister to me. So, it's not about, is this year? It's not that year. No, but about a lifestyle, is expectation. If it comes, great. If it does not come and it takes you, then what will your report be? What is being written concerning you every day? That is what the issue is all about. So there is a transition. And Malachi is about the things we are saying. A true priesthood. God saying, there is a lifestyle I do not approve. Remember, both Jacob and Esau were sons of promise. They came through the plan of God. You had Abraham, you had Isaac. Then Esau and Jacob came. You know, Isaac prayed, fasted, prayed before Esau and Jacob were born. So they were not natural births. But Esau despised. There is a company of people on the earth, in the church, who have an Esau nature, an Esau orientation. The mercy of God will find everybody. But as the word of God comes, and there is no repentance, God says, there is a lifestyle I will judge. A lifestyle that does not honor me, I will judge it. A lifestyle that does not fear me, I will judge it. A lifestyle that does not give me glory, I will judge it. Hallelujah. May we not be negatively judged.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. So, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you not hear, if you not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse. I will curse your blessings. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung on your faces, even the dung of your solemn. That is, the things that are celebrated, they will just become, you know, commonplace. They, you know, things that you find in many of, they are just entertainment. Many gathering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is going on there is just entertainment. People get excited and then after they go out and begin to do all manners of things. Afterwards, that will not be our lot.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with you. You know, Levi had a history. A history of standing by God. You know, Israel was like living in suspect circumstances, and a man was so brazen to bring, you know, a woman of the people that God did not want the children of Israel to associate with, and took her into a tent. The whole of Israel was mourning. Very people. It's still the same orientation, the same mindset. And Levi rose up and stabbed, you know, a javelin through the two of them. And God said, I approve of you. Hallelujah. Now, what is God saying? My covenant was with him of what? Of life and peace. There is a covenant that God is making with those who have made a priestly commitment. What is it? A covenant of what? Life and peace. But it is a conditional covenant. He says, I give them to him for what? For the fear wherewith he feared me. A true priest, a faithful priest, must fear God. God says, as you fear me. Of course, what is, you know, the foundation of fear in the gospel is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We mentioned it earlier on, you know, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. That is the root of fear. And the Holy Spirit comes and he says, this is what I want you to do. Ah, but no other person is doing it. I'm not talking about no other person. I'm talking about you. You will not do this. The account says, a covenant of life. and peace. I give them to him, for the fear wherewith he feared me, he was afraid before my name. Ah, may we be afraid before his name.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The law of truth was in his mouth. Truth was in his mouth. My word was in his mouth. Hallelujah. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me. May we walk with him.
Amen.
He walked with me in peace and equity. He did turn many away from iniquity. Does this not sound like where we read in Micah chapter 4? The mountain that is the Lord's house shall be established, shall be exalted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And men will be drawn to them. Men will say, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord. He will teach us of his way. He's not talking of these four walls here. He's talking of you. Your life will teach people of the ways of God. Your word will teach people of the way of God. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He walked with me in peace and equity. He did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. You cannot afford to be ignorant of the word of God. How will you know the word of God? Meditate on it day and night. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They should seek the word of God at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. You are the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Malachi 3. Speaking about that which the Lord is doing, even this weekend, he says, behold, I will send my messenger. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What do we think we are doing now? We are listening to do you think the words I'm saying are my own words?
No.
A lot of times I go back and I listen to the message, and it's like this couldn't have been me speaking.
Hallelujah.
This is God. He needs a mouth. He borrows a mouth. If we use mine, he will use yours to speak.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Lord whom you seek. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you expecting the Lord? Are you looking up to him? Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Are we his temple? Even the messenger of the covenant, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to his church, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come. But who may abide the day of his coming? Hallelujah. Who shall stand when he appears? How will he come? He is like a refiner's fire. You know who a refiner is? Somebody who processes gold. When you take gold, where do you put the gold? Is the gold having fun when you put it inside? You know, the gold is saying, oh, well, okay, maybe we are in Winnipeg. So you think the fire is the type of fire that will melt away the snow and it will keep you warm. No, this is tough fire. The fire of purification, the fire of cleansing, the fire of making you justified. We read that in Romans 8 yesterday. Being able to stand. You know, one of the things the Lord Jesus Christ said, the Lord was speaking to me sometime, and he said, when you read the word, at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Hallelujah. Our image and our likeness. What is the image of God? Is the image of God the same as his likeness? No, they are not necessarily so. They are all embedded, they are not far from each other, but they are different. The image of God speaks of the software of God, the soft part of God, the character of God. So when you speak of the character of God, you speak of holiness, purity. You speak of patience, love, loving kindness. You know, those are, you know, humility. A God who made heaven and earth, and up till now, he has never come to this city. So say, hey, you guys in Winnipeg, have you heard of me before? I am God. Has he ever done that? Thousands of years. He hides himself. But this morning we are saying, just this book is so loaded. The things that are put there, you cannot exhaust. It says, God is so deep. He is so wide. You can't fathom, you cannot search him out. And yet, he hides himself. All this while, he's been, you know, staying away. The soft part of touch, you know, the image of God, the character of God. Then, make man in his likeness. The likeness of God speaks about God's creativity, God's power, his capacity. Let there be light, and you see, you know, all manners of things are happening. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus came to the earth, he came to show us the pattern, how we could be in God's image and in God's likeness. Amen? Now, two verses of scripture describe him in the fullness of each one. Fullness of the image of God, fullness of the likeness of God. What was the fullness of the image of God? Building up to it, the devil came to him. 40 days, 40 nights, he was fasting. He was hungry. At the end, the devil came and tested him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Did Jesus fall?
No.
Did he fall?
No.
He did not. And towards the end of his ministry, he made a pronouncement. He said, the prince of this world coming, he has small in me. Was that what he said? Would Jesus have told a lie? If there was small of the prince of this world in him, would he have? I've tried though. 99.9% of God, but just 0.00001. What did he say? He has nothing in me. That is the goal.
Amen.
That is the destination. The destination is man will stand and the devil will come and there will be nothing. Because when we speak of incorruption, that is what it's all about. That is, the ability of the flesh has been so tamed, so brought under rule. In fact, ultimately, what God has in mind is to take away this body that is still subject to corruption, subject to sin, and he will give another body. That's what Romans 8 is talking about. Creation is groaning. We also are groaning. What are we groaning? Are we groaning for more cars?
No.
More houses? Is that what we are groaning? Those are low-level things. We are groaning that we'll be clothed upon by incorruption, a body that will not respond to sin, a body that cannot sin. And because the root of death is sin, if you have a body that cannot sin, can you die? Death will have no hold. So that is where God is taking us. So when Jesus said, the prince of this world comes, he has nothing in me, what he's saying is, I have come fully in the image of God. Can God be enticed by sin?
No.
Can God sin?
No.
No. Hallelujah. Now, man in the likeness of God. My eyes were opened. John chapter 3. The Bible says there was a day that Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, sir, okay, let's read it so that it won't be like from Malachi is not far. John 3. We know John 3, reading from verse 1. He says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Now, what did they call him? What was his job title? Sorry?
A ruler.
A ruler of the Jews. Who is a ruler? A leader. A teacher. A man who will show the way to God to man. So Nicodemus was a leader, if you could say, of the synagogue, a leader amongst the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, Master, Sir. You don't say sir. Well, okay, you can be generous, you can be nice, but you don't say sir to somebody who is lower than you. Generally, you say sir to somebody who is senior to you. I'm just using the button. That's not even what I'm trying to bring up. We know, not we think. We know. What do we know? That you are a teacher come from God. Why? No man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. When man can say that about you, when your enemies, did Nicodemus say, I know? Was that what he said?
No.
Who are the we? The Pharisees. The Pharisees, the biggest enemy, the ones who crucified Jesus, they knew he was a teacher. You can change the designation. We know you are a teacher. We know you are a prophet. We know you are an apostle. We know you are a giver. We know you are a leader. Whatever it is, we will have that certification.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is not here.
Yeah.
Men will say, we know.
Yeah.
You are a teacher, a priest sent by God. The world is waiting to see priests, to see ministers, to see men who have had encounters with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, did they say, we like what you are saying? Was that what they said?
No.
What did they say they saw? Is there now?
Eh?
No man can do these things. Brethren, there are things God will do in our lives. In this instance, there were miracles. God will do miracles in your life. In the name of Jesus. But there is something that God has singled you out for, that he will empower you by his spirit. And it will be so manifest that people will say, no natural man. Don't think the world does not know. They know. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
When Daniel, you know, anytime I mention Daniel, I remember that there are a few Daniels here. Hallelujah. When Daniel came on the scene, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar had had a dream. Every natural resource had been exhausted. The word had gone. We are going to kill all you guys who have been making clips. We are brilliant. We are good. We are geniuses. We are, you know, we know. Oh yeah, if you know, tell us this man's dream. Then tell us the interpret. Okay, if you hear the dream, you might be able to manipulate the interpretation. But when you don't know the dream, even the man who had the dream has forgotten. But he knows once you tell him, aha, that is the dream I had. There are some things that are not in the natural realm. You didn't hear me. There are some things that are not in the natural realm. They are in the spirit realm. It is those who are in touch with heaven that will have access to those things. And the world will demand them. Some of us have worked in places and are working in places. And the people we work with over time have discovered this man is different. When they tell others, you are fired, you are fired, you are fired, they call you and say, come and join us. Who should we fire? You didn't get what I'm saying.
Yes.
There are those who are destined to be fired. And there are those who are called to join the firing. And at times, in the course of joining the firing, you are the one who will tell them, do we need to fire these people? We don't need to fire them. Let's find them things to do. I'm talking about out there in the world when you've left church on Sunday. You are out there. And a solution is needed. And the answer is not in the natural realm. And people have, did people know Joseph was a blessed man? Did they recognize the blessing on Joseph? Why do you think they kept putting him in charge everywhere, even in the prison? There was an anointing. There was a blessing. There was something inside it. Not outside. It was inside. That every, if the Bible says you are the salt of the earth, now ordinary mouth. No. I've had experiences. I have gone for meetings. And God said, ah, you going, Mr. Man? You've read your book. And you want to go and recite what you have read. Forget what you have read. Come and stay with me. Let us talk. Spend time in my presence. Worship me. Bless me. When you are finished, you say you don't know where that is in the Bible. Go and ask Esther. How did Esther go? Esther just went, oh, this man is my husband now. Is he not my husband? I can ask, he's your husband, but he's a king. He has a sword in his hand. You walk carelessly, your head is chopped off. Hallelujah. These are serious things. So, Esther said, let us fast and pray to go and meet your husband. Isn't that very funny? The Lord will give the woman wisdom.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. This man, I've been talking to him, I've been talking to him. He doesn't want to hear me. You are the one talking. When you go to God and God gives you words to say, you will see a different man. So, the Lord will help us. But the key issue is, God is raising men in various... One of the things the Lord opened my eyes is, it's not only miracles in the way the world calls me, okay, a sick man, you lay hands, oh yeah, recover. Aren't there dead situations? Recently, the Lord quickened me. There's a project we had handled, a big project in Nigeria. For years, the thing had practically crashed. We were not making any progress. We had put so much effort. And then lately, we began to run. Okay, let's talk to this man. Maybe the man can come and do it. And God said, it is a setup. I set up that problem for you. You are the one who has the solution. Stop looking outside. No, I have blocked any man that can offer a solution outside of you. You are the solution. Ah, sorry, sir. I didn't know. I thought if I call this person and all these ones, they will come together. So forget about them. I set it up for you. Could any other person have solved the problem that Daniel solved? The answer was with the gods who do not dwell with men. And Daniel had access to them. So Daniel went to the gods. And he came back and said, sir, this is your dream. This is what you saw. Yes! Ah, we know. The spirit of the gods is in you. Is the spirit of the gods not in you? That's the way they understand. The Holy Spirit is with you.
Amen.
Every solution. So the bottom line, we know you are a man. You are a teacher. I'm not talking of teacher of the word. You are a school teacher sent by God. You are an accountant sent by God. You are a minister sent by God. You are an engineer sent by God. Many claim they are engineers. They don't know what they are doing. But how do we know that you are sent by God? No man has solutions to these problems. I remember the past 2-3 years, Nigeria went through a recession. Every company that I knew were shouting, crying, and we were blooming. Business was doing well, we were selling. What efforts can we say we were? Okay, we had help. Let me just put it, we had help. God was helping. And everything was doing well. The Lord will help you.
Amen.
Men will see the grace of God in your life.
Amen.
We know. That's the pattern. That's the standard. To come forth in the likeness of God. God has creativity. God has ideas, brilliant ideas. A lot of times, it's when we come to church, just the Lord that is. Okay, fine, that is great. But when you finish, you go to that God that is mighty and say, do mighty things in my life.
The mighty name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. And he will send you forth. It might take some time, you know. God is never in a hurry.
Oh, yes, never.
I want to retire at 40. If you retire at 40, what will you do for the remaining 50 or 60 years of your life? Or what do you mean by retire? Are you going to kill yourself? So what are you retiring from? There is a world system, the way the world operates. God does not retire his people unless you retire yourself. I am still on active duty. I've passed the natural retirement age. I go to work. They pay me good money. I am not complaining. Should I complain?
No.
So, what they pay me makes it possible for me to travel all over the world and do God's service. Recently, I was talking to God and it's like, God, I want you to speak to me about a project I want to go into. I said, I don't want to talk to you about the project you want to go into. I want to talk to you about the ministry I have called you to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That project will fund the work. If your focus is on the work, I will bless the project. If your focus is on the project, then you are wasting your time. I hope you get what I'm saying. God is more interested in fulfilling his work. You are a teacher. You are a man. Whatever it is, you are a wife. You are a mother. Sent by God. No mother can do what you are doing except God be with him. It is the mark. And the world can see it. I was mentioning yesterday that in the course of the things I do, I meet a lot of people, and as I meet them, different issues. I'm looking for a child. I'm looking for this. I am looking for that. And I pray. And funny enough, they so much believe the prayer. Even me, I'm tempted to laugh that, are you sure the prayer I pray can give you child? But they so much believe that prayer you have prayed, God is going to work it. And God is merciful. Is it my prayer that will give somebody child? Is it not the mercy of God that will intervene?
Yeah.
Lay hands. What is in your hand? Have you checked any meters inside your hand? That when you put, then the thing was, no. If God does not put his hand on your hand, there is nothing. And if he puts, then you see the power of God at work. So those two are key. Like the image of God, the prince of this world comes. He has nothing in you. That's the mark. So as long as, that's why we mentioned 30-fold, 60-fold, 90-fold, 99-fold. Is that what he said? What is the final one? 100 is a progression. More of Christ, more of Christ, more of Christ, more of Christ. May it be true in our lives. In the name of Jesus. We quickly go back again to Malachi. I think we were looking at Malachi 3. I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand? He is like a refiner's fire. A refiner's fire, a cleansing, a cleansing, a cleansing, a cleansing, until there is nothing of the evil one in you. And then empowering. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So priests that offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. May our offerings be pleasant unto the Lord. In the name of Jesus. As in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come. So the more the image part of us is dealt with, the more the likeness is made manifest. This is the clue. I come to you as a refiner's fire. I purge you, I cleanse you, and the more you are cleansed, the more I am able to come near to you to judgment. Not to judge you, but to make sure that your right reward is received. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when the Bible talks about judgment, most times you think the Lord is coming to deal with us. No, judgment is you receive your just reward. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you have done evil, you receive an evil reward. But if you have done well, what do you receive? A good reward. One of the things the Lord ministered to me is, you know, it's there in the scriptures. God told Israel, I have tried you. I have tested you to see what is in your heart. And now that I have tried and tested you, I am taking you into a land dripping with, you know,
milk
and honey. Is it dripping?
Flowing.
No, I'm asking you.
Flowing.
Which one did you read in your own?
Flowing.
A land dripping.
No.
A land dropping.
No.
Have you seen a flow before? A land flowing with milk and honey. May we know the fulfillment of the word of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. When the sorcerers come against you and they say, who are you? God will say, hey, that is somebody I have invested a lot of, you know, investment in. He is closer to my standard. Get out of the way. Hallelujah. What it means is the Lord will fight your battles. You know, some say, die. No, leave. Let God do the dealing. Vengeance is mine. I will recompense. You pray for your enemy if you know any enemy. I don't have time to know enemy. The only enemy I know is the devil.
Yes.
Because any man that he sent, if I say, you this man die, and the man die, the demon inside him will move to another one. Then the next one will come, and then he say, die. But if I say, I rebuke the devil in you, then I can free the man. Hallelujah. So it is fear that makes a man say, no. So it's like, before you kill me, I will kill you. Why do you have to kill him? Pray the mercy of God upon his life. Hallelujah. I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a sweet witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling. So those who have sat on that which is your right reward, God says, I will come against them. Hallelujah. Those who have been against the widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord, for I am the Lord, I change not. Hallelujah. I think we can take a break from here. I've actually not entered into what I really, I've done half of the work. In the next meeting, you know, I'll be like looking up to the Lord, how do we go about it? But there is an entrance in the evening we are going to make of that which the Lord is doing in our lives. It's still about priesthood, and it speaks about, you know, the raising up of the man-child, the birthing of the man-child, and a good example of the man-child is Samuel. The birthing of Samuel. And there's a Samuel here.
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. Okay. 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 You know, the birthing of the man-child called Samuel. Maybe in the evening we will go into that, but I think we can pray now and round up. Let us bow our heads as we begin to talk to the Lord. Remember what we have said, it is about honor. Honor, fear, reverence, glory.
Those who honor me, I will honor. Do you want your life to honor the Lord? Do you fear Him? We live in a world where men do not fear, they do not reverence, they have no regard. Who is He? And God humbles Himself. He keeps quiet. But there is a day that is coming.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. But for today, says a son honors the father. A servant is master. If I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear? Let us ask, Lord, in what way have we offered the blind, the lame, the deaf? How are we offer that to you? It says, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Put in another way, my name shall be great in your life, and the Gentiles shall see it.
Yeah, of course.